I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kings in the North, the Lions take care of business in Minneapolis. Welcome in on a victory Monday. Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg. John, what a statement that was.
Just as it should be. Kings of the North. And it was a statement. Like, you come off of a week where everybody is questioning, can they possibly still be Super Bowl contenders? And I've got some work to do before Wednesday in my power search.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because the Lions, they absolutely made a statement yesterday with that win over Minnesota. In Minnesota, they spotted them 10 points. I don't care. Hey, go ahead. Have an easy score early on. Doesn't matter. You know what? Hey, we'll give you the field goal too, because we're going to rip off 21 unanswered. We're going to let you know by halftime that we are the dominant team. We're going to come out in the second half, and you know what? We'll also let you. We just want to make sure people stay tuned in. We don't want to make this look too easy, because there, I mean, obviously there's some things that they've still got to fix, still got to work on, but they were in control of that game. Once they got over that 10-0 spot that they gave Minnesota, this was a team that looked absolutely dominant. Absolutely dominant. Offensively, there was no way Minnesota could stop them. And how about Jared Goff? And we could talk about Jared Goff in regards to no incompletions for the third time this year in the first half. He's had a game where he was perfect. Now, all of a sudden, what do we want to see from Jared Goff? At the end of the game, who do you want the ball in the hands of? We've seen Josh Allen a couple of years ago on Thanksgiving, and we thought, oh man, if we just had a quarterback that could have the ball in his hands, that could go down and put together a game-winning drive, Jared Goff did everything that you would want your franchise quarterback, a highly compensated franchise quarterback, to do. He was damn good yesterday and has been damn good except for the first, 2 weeks of the season, where he was good enough to get a win against the Rams, not good enough to get a win against Tampa Bay, but since then has been one of the best, if not the best quarterback in the NFL.
He's been a maestro. Last three games, 87% completion. And it's not all dinks and dunks, 13 yards per attempt, including a big shot down the seam to Amon-Ra St. Brown. 7 touchdowns, no picks. Oh, and he caught a touchdown in that stretch too. He's playing like an MVP candidate right now. Mm. He's on arguably the best team in football, and he is the brain that spreads the ball around and gets everybody involved. He is at the center of that offense right now.
Would you say he's a top 5 quarterback?
Johnny's playing like a top 5 quarterback.
Oh, I hate to pull out a receipt. No, I wouldn't. But where'd I have him in the offseason? Top 4? And from 6 in the morning until 6 at night. Did you hear what Jansen said in the morning? Jared Goff, top 4? He must be a moron.
We're doing receipts?
I'm doing a receipt right now.
I wasn't going to bring this up until later, and maybe we would have a little ceremony where we would start with the train engine picking up and stuff. Yeah. Come on board.
Yeah.
How about that 14-3 receipt?
Yeah, 14-3. Okay, now here we go. All right, 6 games in. Lots of work to still do.
Yep.
But he is playing as a top, I even underestimated him at 4. He might be 3-2. I'm never going to put him at 1 because that's still Patrick Mahomes. When you can win without any wide receivers, it's still Patrick Mahomes.
But I don't think it's out of the question right now, MVP of the league. I mean, Mahomes is not playing at the same level that Jared Goff is.
He also doesn't have the tools.
That's fair. That's fair.
You know, I mean, they haven't Mahomes-proofed that offense.
Well, okay, look, are we
doing that 100% joking?
MVP-wise, no doubt he's in the front runner right now. If you're talking about quarterback rankings like we were at the time, you put Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, or Joe Burrow in this offense, and come on.
They would also look very, very good. But that's not to take away from what Jared Goff did.
We'll see. I don't think we'll be able to see, but
let's open up the phones. lot to react to. The best part of that win, 248-539-9797. John, I think the offense you've already highlighted, 21 unanswered on the road to settle everybody down. And I mean everybody. I don't think you're telling the truth if you were feeling good down 10-0 on the road early. Goff had been pressured. The line had some issues up front without Zeitler. You're going, oh no, if we don't have our line, we're on the road, we're trailing. This is what Minnesota does. They get up and they play with a lead to score 21 unanswered late in the game to overcome. And I felt so bad for David Montgomery. His fumble, which could have ended up being the difference in the game, they overcome that fumble. And I felt bad because he's playing potentially injured out there. He runs so hard. They bail him out. They get the ball back. They get the game-winning touchdown. Bates, you could say, was the best part. He's now 10 for 10. And as I told you before the season, we're good at kicker.
For now.
But, John, I actually think there's an argument that the best part of this game was late in the game, second half in the game. This defense gave up one touchdown in the second half. They got 4 second-half sacks in the game. That's not to tell you the pass rush was good on the day. But when they needed guys to step up late in that game, it's a one-score game. It's the fourth quarter. It's first place on the line. I felt like your defense did kind of collectively pick it up a little bit in a big spot, which is what we said they had to do. Whoever they trade for, they're going to need a collective defensive effort around them. And I thought we saw signs of it in the fourth quarter.
And we also saw signs of it coming from guys that we marked as going to have to be able to step up to fill some of the void. And do you have a guy that can sit in there and play the run defense like Aiden Hutchinson? No.
No.
But Josh Pascal can be good against the run. Now all of a sudden, he has a sack. Who else did we say as an edge guy, as an athlete, should be really good at helping fill the void of Aiden Hutchinson? Jack Campbell.
Yep.
And he had a sack. And you're going to have to see more of that. And hopefully, this is the first opportunity for them to get comfortable in their new roles. Jack Campbell is going to have to be more of a force on the edge. Do I expect him to have the numbers or the impact of Aiden Hutchinson? Not even close. But he is going to have to be one, if you're looking outside the box, to fill the void for Aiden Hutchinson. Jack Campbell has to step up in his second year and be a force.
4 sacks. One was Pascal. The other three were linebackers. Mm-hmm. The Lions blitzed a lot. In fact, the numbers say that they blitzed in that game more than any game since week one of 2021, the very first game of the Dan Campbell, Aaron Glenn defense. 57%, more than half the snaps, they sent extra guys. And it didn't get home for most of the game. But when they needed it to get home, they did. And I'll say this much. They blitzed a lot, and it's not like they got gashed in the passing game. They gave up a couple plays, but the secondary, which was a huge area of emphasis, looked the part against Addison and Jefferson. Jefferson didn't have a 200-yard day. He didn't have a 100-yard day. You know, I think a lot should be said about what this defense did without Aiden Hutchinson in a big spot on the road in the fourth quarter. Now, they still need guys who can win one-on-one, and I still expect Brad Holmes to make a trade before the deadline. But I thought in a big game when you had to have it, the offense did what they needed to do. Your kicker does what he needs to do. Your defense needs to do something late in that game, and they did.
At some point throughout the course of the year, you're going to have turnovers. And again, I felt awful for David Montgomery because of the tone setter that he is.
Yeah.
And I texted you this during the game. I put it in my prep. I think 95% of other running backs are not in that game after you see him be helped off the field.
Yeah.
And I know that it wasn't arm around a trainer. He was able to walk off gingerly. But I think 95% of the backs probably would have said, I'm done for the day. And hopefully I could play next week. David Montgomery said, screw it. I don't care. I need to be a part of this. And I felt bad that he did that. But so that's one touchdown that the Vikings had. They had one through the air, and that was to Jefferson, who made an amazing
catch. A hell of a
play. And it was a great throw by Sam Darnold.
Yep.
And then you had one on the ground by Aaron Jones.
Yeah, early on a play where they lost contain on the left side.
Right.
They had three guys there, and they all bit inside.
And so this is where this defense has been so much better. How many times last year, at the end of the year, twice when they played Justin Jefferson, he goes off, but yet the Lions win.
Right.
And then whether it was Nacua in the playoffs. It was, you know, I forget who it was for Tampa. They always had a receiver. It was either Mike Williams or, you know, Godfredson or whatever his name is, that would go off against the Lions. Not now. Justin Jefferson, in my opinion, is the best receiver in the NFL.
Yes.
He just makes things happen. And all of a sudden, with the first half, he had three catches for 36 yards, seven on the day for 81 yards on just eight targets. When you limit the number one weapon that Sam Darnold has to under 100 yards, you limit the best receiver in the NFL to under 100 yards, an offense that has pretty much done whatever they've wanted to do through five games to what the Lions were able to do, that to me is, hey, and you did it without your number one pass rusher, your number one defensive player?
Yep.
It's a pretty damn good defense.
Statement made. Best team in the NFC.
Best team in just the NFC?
Well, one team's undefeated and back-to-back Super Bowl champions, but it does feel like those two teams are on a collision course, and they play in, well, this thing called the Super Bowl. Feels like that's very much still the path for the Detroit Lions.
Lots of football to be played, a lot of ups and downs and windy roads, but this right was, now, that it's certainly, I came out of that game feeling like, you know what, this is still the Super Bowl favorite coming out of the NFC.
Yes, and there was a lot of apprehension. I was one of those people feeling nervous about this football game. I think that alleviated a lot of people's concerns. 248-539-9797. A lot to discuss with the Lions on a Victory Monday. Got the first batch of ticket texts. You want to jump in on the phones? We'll hear from you. The best part of that win. We have to talk about the fake punt at some point this hour. We'll get into the pass rush, and did you see enough from it? Dan Campbell in the locker room. Always A-plus when he addresses the team. We'll get to that before the hour ends. It's 97.1.
Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in the great state of Michigan for over 25 years, with a focus on using the highest quality ingredients. You can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all, and it's right in the name. All Day IPA, here's what you get in your beer. Refreshing and deliciously flavorful beer, easy drinking and high quality. All Day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. And speaking of great times, we had one yesterday. Division opponent. Hopefully you celebrated with an all-day IPA. Anything from Founders Brewing. It makes game day so sweet. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find all-day IPA. All-day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a hell of an answer. Detroit down 10-0 on the road against an undefeated team with 2 weeks to prepare. Things could have got ugly. Not for this football team. 21 unanswered. Offense late. Drive to ice it. Bates, a game-winning kick. He is 10 for 10 in his NFL career on field goals. And a defense, which was depleted, which blitzed just to hang in the fight, which didn't always get home, but did in the second half. 4 second-half sacks. Gave up only 1 second-half touchdown. Detroit beats the 5-0 Vikings, goes on the road, stakes their claim without Hutch as the best team in the NFC. An epic football game. One of those football games that was tense the whole way, but one where the Lions were definitely the better football team. And you were looking for something definitive from this football team. I think you saw it last night or yesterday.
And you saw a defense that, down their best player, maybe the best player, defensive player in the NFL, rally as a group. And we'll have a discussion about what they should they do on edge and what do they need to continue to do better. But how good is Brian Branch?
Oh, we have to.
The
please.
Secondary. And how aggressive. And I just love the shift in mindset. Carlton Davis. And again, could he be better? Sure.
Sure.
Is he the top corner in the NFL? No. But you look at what they've been able to do in the secondary, it's... It's remarkable because Carlton Davis, Brian Branch are having great seasons. Kirby Joseph is having a great season. Tyrion Arnold, Amik Robertson, all of them are, as a group, I'm not going to say that they're playing as the best secondary in the NFL, but they don't need to be the best secondary. What they need to do is be a part of a defense that can take on Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, a quarterback that is playing with as much confidence as anybody in the NFL. And if you can't put as much pressure on quarterbacks, 4 sacks is good. They were opportunistic in terms of their sacks, especially in the fourth quarter. But throughout the course of the game, if you're not good in the secondary with a pass rush that is not as dominant as it was in the first 5 weeks, it changes everything about this team and about this offense. The offense is, in my opinion, the best offense in the league.
Correct.
The most dominant offense in the league. They can strike you, and guys aren't having numbers that they had last year. I don't care, because they're all a part. They're making up the best offense in the NFL. But defensively, when you could play really good team defense, and this is where I think Aaron Glenn opened some eyes yesterday, of being able to pick and choose when to blitz, how to get home, when not to, because you're going to stress that secondary anytime you blitz.
Yep.
They played great.
Last Monday, there was a degree of angst, right? There was an unsettled feeling.
There was a mourning.
A little bit of a mourning in the morning. That is not the case today. Now, the defense did what they had to do on that day, which you get credit for, by the way. When you find a way.
You still get credit for that win?
Yeah. Because even if you feel like this isn't going to work every week, blitzing 60% of the time and your D-line not getting home on the edges, it got it done on the day it needed to get it done. And we had discussed it. Secondary was going to have to play better. You were going to have to blitz more. You will still need to add somebody on the outside who can win one-on-one. But on a day where you were facing the NFC's best, undefeated Minnesota, it was good enough. We should absolutely be basking in a victory Monday. Kings in the North. 248-539-9797. We'll get to the phone. Some ticket texts. Jared Goff, money well spent. Goff is on a Drew Brees type run. There's some numbers that suggest he's on a run that only a couple in the league have ever been on. In the history of the league. Mm-hmm. Texter says, I can't wait to hear John's opinion of kickers. Go Lions.
I was just as happy as anyone else. And tell me, were you kind of hoping that it was longer than a 44?
Oh, no. I wanted it to be a chip shot.
I wanted it to be a chip shot, right. But then when it's all said and done, I was kind of like, you know what?
You wanted it to be more epic?
I wanted, kind of felt like
61 yards piped through the uprights.
Yeah. I mean, we saw it for the Panthers.
Sure.
Why not the Lions? Well, trust me, I'll take a 25-yard kick over anything else. But I wanted him to be tested, and he was tested. That's not an easy kick. I don't care if it's 25, 44, 55. That was not an easy kick. On the road,
pressure
to win the game, he has checked all the boxes to this point.
What do you guys think about how they bled the clock on that last drive? Because Greg Olsen at one point was acting like Didn't he say something like they're acting like they're in field goal range already? Because he was pretty critical of it in the moment.
So what I didn't like, before the 2-minute warning, they played one play, 30 seconds, and they weren't in field goal range yet. To me, you got to get in field goal range, and then you bleed the clock. But to the Lions' credit,
unless you know what's going
to
happen,
there's a little bit of a dance there. They needed to get Minnesota to burn some timeouts. They needed to play. They wanted to get as little a time left on the clock as they did, and they actually ended up playing it nearly perfect.
Yeah. Well, they bailed out Montgomery with the fumble because that was a catastrophic play, and he didn't deserve that. But
right,
a good down the road lesson in terms of protect the football. But Jahmyr Gibbs, the last play they ran, was tackled, and they were going after the ball big time. And I think that's why they kneeled the next two plays, because the Lions could have drained some more clock and not backed Bates up a little bit if they didn't kneel. And I think that Gibbs play was, they were kind of like, look, let's get out of here with our field goal. Let's not have a fumble. You know, that, I mean, think about what that would have done or something like that. But, you know, they could have taken another 6 to 10 seconds off the clock.
But credit to Dan Campbell, Dave Phipp, guys that know exactly where the sweet spot is for their kicker. Because what did we witness, whether it was in training camp or in the preseason? We kind of thought, like, I mean, is there a too close for Jake Bates? And is that sweet spot somewhere between 37 and 47 for Jake Bates?
Likely.
We know that he's good from a distance. I don't want to test 61 or 63 in a situation like that. If it's at the end of the first half and, hey, that's where you are, and chance says, you know, let's try a kick, I'm fine with that. But I think there is something to be said for every kicker's going to have a sweet spot. And I think they got to the sweet spot for Jake Bates.
Ticket Texter says 5-0, fresh off a bye at home, going against the Lions team without their best defensive player, and it didn't matter. Lions not only finished first in the North, but first in the NFC. Ticket Texter says Brian Branch looks great out there. Another one says the Lions are going to lose, signed Jim Costa.
Well, everybody's pulling out their receipts. How far back are we going to go? Are we going to go to Goff Hader Costa?
Oh, God, yeah,
no.
Go back.
No, he reversed course. I know.
And what I would say about, you know, picking the Vikings this week,
it was a smart play.
It was a bit of a nail biter, and I don't think the Lions are going to win every game this season. As we look at their record, they've already lost one game. Once or twice a year, you strategically are going to find spots that you don't love their chances. I didn't love their chances. I think it says even more about them that they did rally, that they did win. I feel even better about this football team. And everybody does.
I think they kind of dominated most of the game, and they gave them a pretty easy score with the fake punt, and the fumble obviously was a direct score.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I thought they kind of dominated. And I think the big thing here is let's not underestimate what this team just did the last 2 weeks. They went to Dallas, playoff competitive team from last year, and on the road, and then they went to Minnesota, undefeated division team, huge road win. And I think the implications of what they've done the last 2 weeks down the road are going to be huge.
Well, go back 3 weeks.
Well, let's revisit the question that you said. All right, they finish the first four games 3-1. And we looked at the next four and said, at the Cowboys, at the Vikings, Titans, which, I mean, everybody kind of thinks that should be the win. I'm not going to gloss over that. At the Packers. And in the second four games of the season, what did we say they had to do?
2-2, right?
2-2.
Minimum.
Minimum.
Yeah.
They've already reached the minimum. And it looks like this could be a 4-0 stretch.
I mean, we're setting up right now, seriously, where this should be a given this week, right? Maybe they don't look good. Every team has down weeks. This is the NFL. Anything can happen. But this should be a given. And you go to Green Bay, and that's 2 days before the trade deadline. And you're going to be playing a more mobile quarterback than you played yesterday that I think showed some signs of what, you know, the Lions have a need. And they better get it.
Well, and the Ticket Texters are making sure to bring that point up. In addition to all the good, right? Goff is a maestro, and he's near perfect, and the ball never touches the turf. Bates a big kick. Defense when it needed to be. People have pointed out, pass rush is still a major concern. Another one says, we still need to focus on getting a defensive end this week. Hutch not being there was still noticeable. They were exposed in some ways. I have a stat for you that does show the level of need they still have on the defensive line. We'll work that in. We got to discuss fake punt. It is a Victory Monday, though, and the tone should be a positive tone today. The underlying stuff is there, and we'll discuss it too. It's 97.1.
When it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your individual success. That's why I bank, and I think you should be as well, with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants Bankers are attentive. They're going to take the time to get to know you and meet you where you are so that they can build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer or donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Yes, they are, Dan Miller. 97-1, Victory Monday. Statement by the Lions. Some ticket texts, some phone calls to get to before the hour ends. We will play you locker room audio from Dan Campbell. Always, always awesome to hear him address the football team. We'll get to that. 702 over reactions from the weekend. Marcus in East Point, you're on 97-1.
Morning. Man, this was such an impressive win. I liked it better than the beatdown of Dallas and the win over Seattle because I think the Vikings fans set the tone. We kind of scrambled early, gave up a 10 quick point, and we could have cashed it in. I ain't going to say mail it in because this team don't have that in them. But, I mean, overcoming Aiden, playing against the best receiver in the league, a hot quarterback, a freaky, schemey defense that's supposedly not what we meant to stop, and then to go down and score four straight touchdowns and then feel it running the ball down the throat just like we do every game that's close. They played amazing to me. I was impressed.
I like how you put that. It was better than the Dallas game. Even though they blew the doors off the Cowboys. No, but I'm with you, Marcus, because this one meant more. I mean, I don't know if Dallas is any good, and it feels great to run up a big number against them, but the game that puts you, a measuring stick game, is the game at Minnesota. I'm with you, Marcus.
I got a question for John.
What's that?
I think I asked last week, and we didn't get the number one yet. What's our chances?
The chances for the power surge, the chances are, I've got some work to do between now and Wednesday. Let me tell you that. They obviously, with Minnesota, I think last week I had them at two, will be moving up. Will they all bump all the way to number one? Have to find out on Wednesday, bud.
Yeah, hard to say with an undefeated team. Marcus,
I wish we could play KC right now.
Oh, me too.
All right, you guys have a good week. I'll talk to you next Monday.
Perfect,
Sounds
Marcus.
Good. Thanks, Marcus.
It does feel like it's a collision course.
It does, and so when we talk about the defense and the need for more pass rush, obviously it's great to be able to talk about it after a win, especially one as big as the one that the Lions had yesterday against Minnesota on the road, division, all of that. Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Who has a perfect roster in the NFL?
Nobody.
All right, so the Chiefs, who I've had – through 7 weeks, as the number one team in the power surge. What have they suffered on offense?
Injuries at the receiver positions.
And they've been able to find ways to keep putting a Band-Aid on it. And I still think that between now and the trade deadline, I guarantee you that's the conversation on Kansas City Radio. I'm not going to do Kansas City Radio. We're winning, but how do we compete against the next time they see Baltimore? If that's in the, it will be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Next time they play
Buffalo, who just added a receiver.
Buffalo. How about if we do make it to the Super Bowl, they're having that conversation about how do they compete with a Minnesota, a Detroit? Because I'm not sure what other teams are in the conversation for the Super Bowl right now. It feels like it's a team coming out of the NFC North, and right now it's the Lions. So it's the same conversation, different position that we're having, that everyone is having across the NFL. How do we, if we want to win a Super Bowl, how do we make our roster better by the trade deadline? And so the Lions are going to be, we're going to have that conversation for the next 2 weeks leading up to until Brad Holmes does something. I do believe he will do something.
Yeah, and I'm happy it was good enough yesterday. But yep. The stat that you're going to hear about, the Lions blitz 57% of the time. That's the highest since the first game of the Dan Campbell era. Edge rushers generated just 3 pressures on 27 rushes without the blitz. So in other words, when they left those guys on an island, it was non-existent. I love that they used what they had to win, which is blitzing and getting more out of their secondary. I'd like to have a guy who can win on the outside. And everybody wants Crosby. Everybody wants Myles Garrett. But just give me somebody. Give me somebody so there's a better chance to win the Super Bowl. They could win it as is. They could. They'd have a better chance if they added a pass rusher. 248-539-9797. John, what did you think of the fake punt? A couple ticket texters say, all around a great game offensively and defensively, but the fake punt scared the hell out of me. Thought it was unnecessary, but it put my mind at ease knowing Campbell wanted that win no matter what.
Yeah, so I didn't love it. And as soon as I saw him go in motion, I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. And they went for the fake punt, and it was, if it was as obvious as, because I haven't done my film study on the kicking game for the Lions and reviewed every fake punt and what are some of the signals that if I was a defense that would let me know, antenna goes up, fake punt. But instantly when I saw them go in motion, I thought, oh, and Minnesota was
all over it.
All over it. They were lined up. They were ready for the pitch. They were ready to stop the ball carrier, snap to the up man. And there was absolutely no way for that play to be successful.
I think the rule of thumb on fake punts is don't do anything pre-snap that makes the defense say, huh, fake. That's weird.
A fake.
Yeah. And well, so I didn't like it. And here's some other reasons why. We loved it against Kansas City, one, because it was successful. But at that time, we didn't know the Lions were going to be as good as they were last year. We looked at that game, and I know I had picked them in that game, but Kansas City was a better team. And they were the Lions were trying to steal possessions, we don't want to punt right now. We want to keep this drive going. We need to score. We need as many bites at the apple. Okay, that's where you were at that time. So much has changed since then, and you've been very successful at running fake punts, but you're playing against a team that I thought going into that game, even without Aiden Hutchinson, you were better than offensively, defensively, and special teams. You were going to win that game. So why did you feel the need at that time to take the risk of running a fake punt? Because when it wasn't successful, we saw what happened. They are a good team. They'll take advantage of mistakes. That was a mistake, or was at least an unsuccessful play. And 2 plays later, they're dancing in the end zone.
Texter says, I believe we bring in someone to shore up the pass rush, but the biggest liability will be Dan Campbell making reckless in-game decisions like that fake punt. Indefensible to make that call. He's a great motivator. Players love him, but he continues to make bad in-game decisions. Anthony in Ann Arbor. John, my understanding has always been that those fake punts are live, and if you get the right look, you take advantage of a napping defense. I don't know what that punt was because I don't see anything that indicates
a lot. Yeah, that would trigger the green light.
In fact, as soon as you go in motion, there are linebackers the whole way scraping across and over the top. And guess what? Even if he pitched the ball on the option, they had it snuffed out. It was DOA. It was dead on arrival. So I really don't know. Was that that was called? That wasn't, we're looking for something. That had to have been called in the huddle that we're going fake punt here. I like it if the defense is napping. Right? You see a look, a linebacker, he's not going to, you have numbers on a side.
Yeah.
There was nothing to indicate that that was a green light, and yet they did it anyway, which does question why.
Well, they've been more successful than anybody else over the last 3 years at running trick plays, but fake punts specifically.
Yep.
And because not everyone is going to end up being successful. So what happens? Just like Dan Campbell's gaffe at the end of the first half against Tampa Bay, hey, rest of the team, you're going to have to step up. Just like David Montgomery and the fumble at the end of the game that gave the lead back to the Minnesota Vikings, hey, I need this team to step up and have David Montgomery's back, to have Dan Campbell's back. There's been interceptions thrown by Jared Goff. What has the team done? They've stepped up and found a way to recover. They did that same thing against a really good team. But you can't count on that if you're playing in the playoffs against other really good teams, if you're playing in the Super Bowl against the next best team in the NFL. I thought it was. I just thought it was a bad decision. I don't necessarily know that I want to throw around the reckless call, but it was a bad decision.
Yeah, I think I get where he was coming from in the sense that you might be in a shootout game and you don't want to give up a possession and you want to try to keep your offense on the field. I generally like a lot of these gambles. That one, the execution, the play call itself, why the ball was snapped and executed, I don't fully understand it. 248-539-9797. We'll play the Dan Campbell locker room audio before the hour ends. More of your text and phone calls. Overreactions at 7:02. It's a Lions Victory Monday. It's 97.1.
Did you know that the NBA is back? Well, it is. And FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action because right now, FanDuel is giving all users 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do is catch every tip off and buzzer beater is to place a $5 bet on the NBA. And that could be, hey, maybe you just want to see LeBron and Bronny, see what they're going to do. Put some money on that. Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio. Maybe it's a title contender like the New York Knicks. Maybe you want to see, take a long shot on them winning the championship. Oklahoma City Thunder, maybe in that same category, or the Celtics to repeat. Put your $5 down, and you're going to get that NBA League Pass for 3 months. It's new. If you're new to FanDuel, just visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. After the three-month trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I think that's well said. They did what they needed to do for that win. All hands on deck. They blitzed a lot. They didn't get a ton from those edge guys. But in the second half, they only gave up one touchdown. They produced four sacks. Is that going to be the recipe moving forward? I still think they need to add somebody via trade. How big a fish? We can discuss it all week long. The tone today, though, is what a win. What a game and what a win for this football team.
It was beautiful. It is exactly what they needed. Following a week where you were trying to celebrate a big win on the road, an NFC opponent, one that you had lost to the year before. Okay, check the box. Dallas, you won. But you lose Aiden Hutchinson. You're playing an undefeated Minnesota Vikings team in their house. To be able to come away with the win, it will, I mean, it's
21 unanswered, by the way.
It sets the tone for the rest of the season. And you could look at what the Lions have done. Okay, Rams. It's a tone setter because it's how the season begins. You want to start 1-0, and then all of a sudden they lose to the Bucs, and that one just that really grinds at me because this should be a team that is 6-0, but they learned some lessons at the Cardinals, Seahawks, at the Cowboys, at the Vikings, all wins, and now this team is sitting at 5-1, controlling their destiny 6 weeks into the season for whatever is to come, and they could have used some pass rush help against the Vikings, but the coaching staff and Brad Holmes should have learned what they needed to learn. Now, do you need that pass rush help to help beat the Titans? Probably not. So you've bought yourself a little bit more time winning against the Vikings. Now you've got 2 weeks before the trade deadline. And one of those, which is the Green Bay Packers on the 3rd, now you're looking at, okay, that's where we should have everything in place moving forward.
You mentioned the Titans. To me, that's the answer. Harold Landry. He grades out really well against the run, and he's a guy who can get you double-digit sacks, did a year ago. He's more than a year removed from a scary injury. He's productive. He had experience with Terrell Williams, mm-hmm. who is the D-line coach for the Detroit Lions. The Titans lost. They have one win. They're going nowhere. He's on a multi-year deal. That's the move that you can make that is not quite a Crosby or a Garrett. Those deals might not be real. It's certainly better than a Za'Darius Smith. It may be a deal where you give up a second and a fifth or something like that. Just spitballing. That feels like the most attainable, impactful player, a Harold Landry, who could help replace some of Barnes and some of the pass rush of Aiden Hutchinson. That's a move I'm circling as we look ahead.
Yeah. And so I'm glad that you said that at the end. It helps with the loss of Barnes as well because Harold Landry is a linebacker. He's 6'2", 252. He's 28 years old. He's a guy that can get after the quarterback, but he's not a guy that you're going to line up on first and second down hand in the dirt.
Right.
And so he's not
but
going to be.
But they have those guys. They have some heavier guys. Yeah.
He's not going to be a direct replacement. I just want to make sure that we are correctly describing what Harold Landry is to our listeners. He's not Aiden Hutchinson. He's not an okay. No one is Aiden Hutchinson. He's not a defensive end. He's not a true edge defender. But
I think the plan for them, and you saw it a little bit yesterday, is cobble it together, right? Build it in the aggregate. So the idea there is on early downs, you have a personnel package where you do play Onzerike at end. That's a heavy end, right? That's a power end. Same thing with Pascal. Those are collapse the pocket, stop the run guys. And then on third and seven, third and eight, Harold Landry could be out there hanging off the edge with a mean streak, getting after the quarterback. And I don't feel bad if Landry's in the game on first and second down as that Sam linebacker. So he can Correct. Be a guy who, if you're trading a second round pick, I don't want a situational pass rusher. He is a guy that could play all three downs.
I'm just curious if Brad Holmes says, yes, we want to add another linebacker to this group. And I don't know how Right. long Harold Landry's under contract, but I mean, Derek Barnes will be back next year, except for the fact that Derek Barnes is in the last year of his rookie contract.
Yeah.
So you will have some decisions to have to make in regards to, do you want him back or would you rather have Harold Landry? Here's another side benefit of Harold Landry being a part of the Detroit Lions. Who's the guy that we said needs to fill part of that role? Jack Campbell.
Yeah.
Who better than a guy that's been in the league since 2018 for 6 years for him to learn is this is how you are successful at rushing the passer as a linebacker. Here's the rush plan that you need to have as an undersized guy that is a terrific athlete.
Landry has this year and two more seasons.
Okay.
With an out after this year for some reason.
What's the number?
Cap hits $23 million this year, $24 and $24 the following years. He is a mix of, a blend of. You're not swinging for the fences, right. But you're not getting a Band-Aid either. Just a name to monitor, especially with the Titans coming up this week. We mentioned we played Dan Campbell audio in the locker room, addressing the team. Let's do it. John, every single time. How about Bates? You want his stats? You won the game. I love it. The little things that you can pull out of Dan Campbell addressing to that.
One for one. That's all they had to be.
That's all he had to be. Perfect.
On field goals. PATs, also perfect.
And the Lions win. We got phone calls to get to. 7 o'clock hour rolls on. Tomorrow's probably more of a day for Michigan football, but there are some college overreactions, and the Wolverines will be featured. We'll get to that after the update. It's 97.1.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.